Hey, Bills Mafia. We know there's only one topic every day. All Bills, all the time. And now Matt Bove and Sal Capaccio are going really deep, talking Bills all year long, because it's always game day in Buffalo.
All right, everybody, Sal Capaccio here. It's always game day in Buffalo. You got just me this morning on Wednesday, October 2nd. Matt and I will be together down at the stadium a little bit later. A normal Wednesday schedule for the Bills with a game on Sunday. Sean McDermott will speak to the media at 12 p.m., practice at 12:30. We'll hear from players after that, and then we'll be together a little bit later here on the pod. Thanks a lot for downloading, subscribing on audio, of course, wherever you pod, and on video on the Sal Sports YouTube channel. Thank you very much for that. And of course, a lot has happened over the last 24 hours with the Bills. So let's get right into it. Von Miller suspended 4 games by the NFL for violating the personal conduct policy. At the time I'm recording this, we have not heard specifically from the league or the team that this is due to the domestic violence allegations, an incident that happened, and the arrest that occurred in November of 2023 in Texas. But unless there's something that went completely unreported, completely under the radar that no one knows about more recently, I think it's safe to assume that this stems from that. There's been other reporting from national media and insiders saying the same thing, which is basically, it appears as though that is the case. Now, I would say that is an assumption, but I think it's a pretty safe assumption at this point that this is what this is stemming from. Now, back in the offseason, the Bills did adjust Von Miller's contract. There was a lot made about him taking a pay cut. It's possible that both sides knew something like this was going to happen, which is why it was adjusted and the base salary was lowered. The signing bonus was higher. They did get cap relief from that, but it's very possible that both sides knew this was very possible, and that's why they came together to do that. In the meantime, we know Von Miller's not going to be on the field for the Buffalo Bills for the next 4 games. That's at Houston this week. It's at the Jets on a Monday night the following week. That's home to the Tennessee Titans the following week, and then at the Seattle Seahawks. He would be eligible for reinstatement following that Seattle Seahawks game. So no Von Miller for the next 4 games. And of course, we'll try to find out more from both Sean McDermott and possibly Brandon Bean if he speaks on it later today or later this week. And we'll talk about that. And it's always game day in Buffalo. Matt will have you covered on WKBW-TV. I'll have you covered on WGR Sports Radio 550. As far as a suspension impacting the roster, well, he's now on the suspended list. So the Bills do have one open roster spot, but they don't anymore. They did, at least, because they signed Zion Loge. I think it's Loge or Loge, and I have to get the correct pronunciation. My apologies on that, but this is a defensive tackle who actually is 6'6", 314. This is a big guy. And I do wonder if, let me get that right, 6'6", right? Yeah, I was going to say 6'4". No, he's 6'6", 6'6", 314. He was a sixth round pick also of the Atlanta Falcons of this past draft, but then he was waived, you know, at the end of camp, put on their practice squad. So he's been with the Falcons. He's been on their practice squad. So that means the Bills, by signing him to the practice squad, to their roster, the way it works is if you sign a player from another team's practice squad, he must go on your 53-man roster immediately. There's no practice squad. And the Bills have to carry him for at least 3 weeks. He's guaranteed 3 game checks. Now, the Bills could actually move on from him, but I think that spot, I believe that spot counts for him for the next 3 weeks. He's counted on the roster, even if they were to move on from him for some reason. So Zion Loge comes to the Bills, and I don't think it's a coincidence that here's this 6'6", 314-pounder they sign just a couple days after what happened down in Baltimore and how the Ravens ran on the Bills with a 300-pound fullback and Derrick Henry. I mean, obviously they had trouble stopping the run. The first play of the game goes for what, 87 yards and a touchdown. And after that, it was tough all day for the Bills to stop the run. I think the Bills need to get bigger up front. I think they understand they need to get bigger. Now, they're not going to face the Ravens every week. I think the Bills, as currently constructed, are, you know, able to stop the run. And it's the right way to construct the defense the way they are in the modern NFL, the way teams are playing now. However, we've seen the shift in the NFL, more teams going to the run game. And I think the Bills probably looked at the film and said, they're not a team that normally like overreacts to a lot of this stuff, but I do think you have to react in some capacity to this particular, you know, situation and game that happened on Sunday night. And that's why they probably said, let's get a little bit bigger. Let's get a little bit beefier, a little stronger up front. So we'll see how the rotation looks. So what does that mean for the defensive line now? Ed Oliver, Daquan Jones, Austin Johnson, Dwayne Carter, and Zion Loge. Now that's your defensive tackle group. On the ends, without Von Miller, Greg Rousseau and AJ Epenesa, Dewan Smoot, Casey Tuhill, and Javon Solomon. 10 total defensive linemen, defensive ends, and defensive tackles. If you go to my Twitter feed, X at Sal Sports, you'll see the updated current roster that I always put on there. So, you know, go check that out. But we'll see how this impacts the Bills as far as how they want to play this rotation. They did have 10 defensive linemen active for the last game. Everybody who was on the roster was active. There's no defensive lineman inactive. I think maybe could be the same this week, but this is a different opponent, the Houston Texans, than obviously, you know, the Baltimore Ravens. We'll see about Joe Mixon's health. He has missed the last couple games, but, you know, they'll try to run on the Bills. There's no doubt. But I think they're a little bit more of a team that's going to want to put CJ Stroud in the pocket and have him throw around a little bit more. So we'll see how the Bills match up against the Texans as far as their personnel. But obviously, a lot of this stemming from the Von Miller suspension. The other part about this is it's interesting to me. They brought a guy onto their team from a practice squad who was drafted in the sixth round. That kind of tells me the Bills liked him in the pre-draft process, right? The draft was just several months ago, and they've only played four games here, every team. So for them to take, it's not just, hey, let's go find a big guy. There must have been a guy that they liked in the pre-draft process out of Georgia that wound up with the Atlanta Falcons. So that's all happening with the Von Miller suspension. All right, let's get to the next item of business. Should the Bills trade for Davante Adams? This is really interesting to me because we all saw on Sunday night, the Bills have a little bit of, had on Sunday night, trouble on the outside separating. Their wide receivers had trouble separating, and it was a big issue. It hasn't necessarily been the case through the first three games, but they haven't had to have them separate. Now, against Jacksonville, they did a really good job. Bills picked apart their man-to-man defense, good separation, the way that they, you know, flowed their offense. But I think that's where I go to it, about how they have constructed their offense, what they want to be. They moved on from Stephon Diggs, 30 years old, number one true alpha wide receiver who kind of needs the ball, needs targets, right? I'm not saying that, hey, give me the ball, give me targets, I'm going to cause problems way. I mean, that's what you do with a guy like that. A very highly paid 30-year-old wide receiver who commands targets because that's who he is and that's the level of talent he is. They wanted to intentionally go to this model of, we don't want that. We want everybody eats. We want everybody to be able to get on the field and the other team and the defense and not know exactly where it's going and not have that pressure maybe of, hey, there's our guy. We got to feed him. We got to get it to him. That's what you do with a number one wide receiver. But that's who Davante Adams is. He's 32, Davante Adams. And he's also a number one stud wide receiver who you're going to want to throw the ball to. It would be totally counterintuitive for the Buffalo Bills to trade for Davante Adams after they intentionally went away from having a guy like Davante Adams and Stephon Diggs. Now, that said, maybe you revisit and go back to the offseason and the moves they made and the preseason and training camp. And now through the first few games and especially Sunday night, and Brandon Bean and his staff look at it and go, look, this is all fine, but we need a guy like this. It's apparent we need a guy. They may feel that, and they may want to invest in, or at least I should say, you know, kick the tires on, make a call and investing at least to look into trading for Davante Adams. It is very prohibitive though, financially. Now you have ways of working around this. I'm going to look at his actual cap number for the Raiders right now, because I'm going to pull this up as I talk to you. I don't want to say it wrong. I'm pretty sure I know it. For the Raiders, here we go. Now, his cap number for the Raiders will be way different for his other team, his next team. His cap number for them is $25 million, but he got a $16.8 million base salary this year. Some team that you probably got, $13 million remaining on that for his base salary. The Bills don't have $13 million in salary cap, folks. They just don't. So you can't just trade straight up for Davante Adams and say, oh, yeah, it's going to put him on your team. You'd have to have the Raiders somehow, some way, rework the contract to eat a lot of that money and then trade in the Bills, like a sign and trade we see in the NBA. In this case, it'd be a, you know, kind of rework and trade, right? They'd have to do something like that. It's possible. I would also say it's possible given the Bills' draft capital. The Bills have the wherewithal to do this. They have the draft assets and capital. They have 2 second-round picks next year. They have their own, and they have the Minnesota Vikings, which, by the way, looks like it's going to be a pretty late pick in the round when everybody thought might, including me, could be very early in the round. Not the case. But either way, they have a one. They have 2 twos. They have a three. I don't think Davante Adams necessarily is going to go for a two unless the Raiders say, okay, we're going to rework that deal. We're going to make it way better for you financially. We're going to eat a lot of money, but you got to give us a number two. That is possible. That could happen. I just find the situation fascinating. I'm a big Davante Adams fan. I think Davante Adams is a tremendous player, and I would not be opposed to him being on the Buffalo Bills. I just want to come at this from a perspective of the Bills, which I always try to do. You know, it's funny. I go on WGR or on this show, and people say, oh, you always defend the Bills or be a homer. And some people say that, I guess, but it's not what it is. What I try to do is explain from the Bills' side, and that sometimes can come off as defending. And this is one of those cases where I will try to explain from the Bills' side why maybe they wouldn't do it, even if you think they should. And the reason is, and I think they maybe should, but the reason would be because they've intentionally kind of gone away from this model, and it would go totally anti how they wanted to build this. But they may look at it and say, look, the AFC is a bit down. Look what's happening to Kansas City. There are no more Pacheco, no more Rashee Rice. We'll see how that situation actually turns out. No more Hollywood Brown. They're a beatable team this year. They're not scoring a ton of points. Yes, the Bills got beaten badly by the Ravens. The Ravens lost to the Raiders. They're 2-2. The Bengals don't look like the team that they have been for the last few years. And look at the division. Look where the Jets are, the Dolphins, the Patriots. This is the Bills division to win. This is maybe even a look at the one seed this year, right? So the Bills may recalibrate and say, we have a chance at this thing to do it. Reminds me a lot of 2017 when everybody thought they were tanking. And they said, no, we're going to be competitive. No more Sammy Watkins, no more Ronald Darby. We traded them and we're going to be really competitive. And lo and behold, they weren't just competitive. After the first, you know, month and a half, they were right in the thick of things. So they traded for Kelvin Benjamin. I don't know if they really wanted to do that when the season started or thought they would do that, but situation and circumstance led them to do that. I think this could be the same kind of thing. So I would not shut the door on the idea that the Bills could trade for Davante Adams. I do think it's possible. It would take a lot of maneuvering financially and philosophically, I think, for them. But I do think there's a pathway to get there for Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott and the staff and the organization to think, this is the move we need to make. It's going to be interesting. We'll keep you updated on Wednesday. We'll come back at you with another pod later in the week, probably on Thursday. Be on the lookout for it. Thank you very much for downloading wherever you pod. And of course, subscribing. Subscribe. We're close to 10,000 subscribers on the YouTube page. I need you there. 10,000 subscribers. I'd love to do it. Huge milestone. Let's get it done. Sal Sports on YouTube. Matt and I will be back later this week. Today, again, Wednesday, practice at 12:30 p.m. Sean McDermott speaks to the media at noon just before that.